You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
You know, Rob, I can get really hangry sometimes when I don't eat.
Yeah, me too. I hate being hangry.
And you know, today
hungry.
I was watching the Today Show, and on the Today Show
really?
Was Dr. Oz.
Ugh. Yes.
All right, I won't say too much more.
No, I'm sure he's a swell guy.
But they were talking about, you know, avoiding processed meats and avoiding certain things because it has cholesterol. And then it was funny yesterday, someone from the office next door, which the office next door, in case anyone was wondering, is a, what are they, like an urgent care family
No, I think it's just a general practitioner, family doctor, yeah.
Family doctor. Yep. And oftentimes they tell people all the time to not eat red meat because it's high in cholesterol and people need to get the protein from meat without the cholesterol. Well, if you're in that book, you've got to check out Charki. It's Charki. If you search Charki on Amazon, it'll come right up. Or you can go to charki.love. That's http://charki, charki.love. It'll take you right to Amazon. And you can try the sweet and spicy flavor yourself. If you're paleo, and you're sensitive to sugar and you can't have sugar, guess what? Check out the salt and pepper flavor because there are only 4 ingredients and none of them are sugar. But for those of you who have a sweet tooth like me and Rob, you gotta check out the sweet and spicy because the 4 ingredients are lamb, soy sauce, sugar, that's cane sugar, natural sugar, and black pepper. 4 ingredients, and guess what? It tastes great, high in protein, low in fat. And for those of us who are living the drone life and need a good snack that's gonna make you feel good, it's gonna make your body work well, you gotta check out Charki.
By the way, really quick, my new favorite is the red chili.
Really?
I've just been enjoying the red chili. He didn't mention that. Try that one. It's really good.
So for those of you listening, red chili is a very New Mexican thing. So
in spite of what Colorado likes to say nowadays.
Yeah, Colorado is not where red chili came from. That's how it could have come from Colorado when it's grown in New Mexico.
Apparently they grow it up there too.
Apparently.
Now we like our friends to the north, but.
We do.
Anyways,
I may be moving up there soon. I got 13 months left till I move out of New Mexico, Rob.
Okay, we're planning it. Not that we want you to go, but we know it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I think more can be done in a flow state kind of mind. So anyway, guys, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. Very important show today, talking about flying over people. One of our instructors had a nice little conversation with FAA Washington and gave us some great insight. We've got the documents right here to read to you about flying over people. But the fact of the matter may actually surprise you. In fact, there is some news that even surprised me. But you know what, Rob, before we BS too much, why don't you just go ahead and play that question?
Let's do it. And welcome to episode 536, folks. Glad you're with us.
Flying over people. So they don't want you to hover 10 or 15 feet above someone. All me and a friend want to do is go out to the park in an open area, fly around. Because if you go to an altitude of 100, 200 feet and you fly forward, eventually you're going to fly over someone or something. So just not too clear on that. Just for relaxation. No, don't want to video people or anything like that. Take pictures of nobody doing anything. You know, just want to fly around and, you know, maybe do some tricks or something. Just enjoy. So what's this flying over people? Please clarify. Thank you.
Tyrone, thank you very much for the question. Guys, if you have a question like Tyrone, go to AskDroneU.com. Please go to AskDroneU.com and get that question in and go with the accents. We've got a couple accent questions coming up in the next few days. I'm kind of excited to get to those just because they're fun.
Yar.
But we thought maybe we'd start off reading what does 107 actually say about flying over people?
So this is in our study guide, which actually is going on Amazon soon. Very excited about that. And in our study guide, we actually put together a bunch of different stuff that aren't in other study guides. In fact, I just want to say this because I just want to pat myself on the back. I normally don't do this. This is a bad thing.
I normally don't do this. That's funny, but go ahead.
Anyway, I wrote this before the FAA came out with their study guide, before any lawyer wrote their study guide, before any other school wrote their study guide. This was the first. Anyway, because someone else was saying that they passed more students than us, and I went into his school, and there were 40 people, and I'm like, we have 800 that have passed. That's weird that you're saying you have more. Anyways. I'm going to leave that be. So
all I care about is the next one.
All I care about is providing the community with value, because if we're making their lives easier, we're doing our job.
Exactly.
So all right, anyway, prohibited operations over people. This is Section 5, Part 11. Part 107 prohibits a person from flying a small UA directly over a person who is not under a safe cover, such as a protective structure or a stationary vehicle. Now, before I go any further, this is a point of contention with some of the instructors in Drone U. It's also a point of contention with a lot of people in our community. And in fact, there's a local guy, I'm not going to say his name. There's a local guy who's been flying for another local firm without a license since August and just decided to get his license.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he got called. Someone called the feds on him. So that's why he's getting his license now. Well. But anyway, so the point of contention is, listen to this sentence again. From flying a small UA directly over a person who is not under a safe cover, such as a protective structure or a stationary vehicle. The point of contention here is the stationary vehicle, because people are saying, well, why can't I fly over moving cars? You know, it's a protective structure. If the drone hits the car, the person's going to be totally protected. And in fact, if a Phantom hits a car, it's not going to be anything like if a rock were to hit your car. So
yeah, I guess on something like that, I kind of wonder, I would love to know why they came up with that, because my hunch is that it has something to do with if a drone hits your car, you might freak out and crash.
Well, from what I understand,
it could be a different issue.
From what I understand is that the issue is flying over highways and whatnot, because some highways are critical infrastructure, so you're not supposed to fly over them.
Right.
Also, if you fly so low, because remember, this is just one point of the regulation. There's the other parts where it says no reckless flight. There's another part that says your trajectory cannot be reckless towards a person. So if you're flying 10 feet over a bunch of cars, and let's say the drone crashes into one of those cars, an 18-wheeler swerves and someone dies, think about it. That's not very smart to fly right over a highway. In fact, right. In Charlotte, North Carolina, was it Charlotte or was it it might have been Tennessee. I can't remember. One of the news stations posted a video where an Inspire was flying maybe 5-6 feet over
a very busy highway, interstate.
Yes, a very busy highway. And it was, Vic wrote the station a very nice letter. And by very nice, I mean not nice at all. And, you know, like, that is definitely reckless. I think it's very easily arguable because it was reckless. But if you're flying 200 feet above a highway, they're in protective structures. Mm-hmm. They're in a vehicle. It's just not stationary. So this is a point of contention. So people have argued, well, they're under a protective structure. And if you read further down, which I will here in an area, it states that you can fly over certain people under certain conditions.
Right.
So let me continue reading. However, a small UA may be flown over a person who is directly participating in the operation of an SUAS, such as a remote PIC, other person manipulating the controls, a VO, or crew members necessary for the safety of the SUAS operation as assigned and briefed by the remote PIC. So that briefing is kind of an MPTOM, if you guys remember that, kind of taken out of the MPTOM. There are several ways that the SUAS remote PIC can comply with these requirements, such as selecting an operating area that is clearly unpopulated, uninhabited. If selecting a site that is populated, inhabited, have a plan of action which ensures persons remain clear of the operating area, remain indoors, or remain under safe cover until such time that the small UA flight has ended. So again, safe cover. Okay. Safe cover is a structure or stationary vehicle. See, it says stationary vehicle again. Or a stationary vehicle that would protect a person from harm if the small UA were to crash into that structure or vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So again, safe cover is a structure that would protect a person from harm if the small UA were to crash into that structure or vehicle. So the way that I understand that is if it were to prevent the drone hitting a person because it's a structure, that's the important part. And that's right. why people contend with the stationary vehicle, because it says safe cover is a structure that would protect a person from harm if the small UA were to crash into the structure or vehicle.
Right.
So establishing the next point is establishing an operational area in which the remote PIC has taken reasonable precautions to keep free of persons not directly participating in the operation. So they're saying, like, you know, make sure you stay away from people who don't know about the operation. The third bullet, choosing an operating area that is sparsely populated or ideally clear of persons if operating a small UA from a moving vehicle. Having a plan of action that ensures the small UA remains clear of persons who may be entering the operating area. Adopt an appropriate operating distance from persons not directly participating in the operation of an SUAS. So one of the questions that we get a lot on the podcast, and I get a lot in messages, which, by the way, I deleted my Facebook Messenger. I'm off my phone yesterday. Oh, man, is it freeing.
Probably have a lot of free time now.
Yeah.
Or more anyways.
A lot of people say, well, Paul, you know, there are some of these, you know, crazy off the wall people who know the rules and hate drones and have looked them up. And oftentimes you'll be flying a drone and then some person will just walk under your drone and then say, well, you're flying recklessly because you're flying over me. From what, now this is speculative, from what we have been told by the FAA Washington, I want to make that distinction, FAA Washington, they've stated very clearly, look, if someone walks under your drone while you're flying, you know, you need to take some sort of action to not fly over them. But if they walk directly under you and they knowingly do that, they're putting themselves in harm's way and you're not liable. But remember, guys, you have to prove that some way, which is why in our 107 operations course, Doug, the instructor Doug, talks a little bit about putting up a GoPro camera to actually record your operating site when you are flying. That way you can prove these things.
That is a great idea, Doug.
Yeah, so well done, Doug. I like Doug thinks about the small, minute things a lot.
Yeah, that's
and I
important.
Like that. It is. So, you know, that was one thing. Another thing that we were told was that FAA Washington is a little bit more easygoing than the FAA FISDO, the local FISDO guys, because the local FISDO guys are traditional, they're manned aircraft, they're super hardcore. But if you actually look at the data on the FAA's website, the number of pilot certificates took a huge dive last year.
Yeah.
2016, the number of people who actually got pilot's licenses took, I think it was at least 15% drop.
Interesting. Yeah, and we're going to go into that in more detail, right, in a
yes,
podcast.
We'll talk about the
shortly.
Difference between manned and unmanned, yes, because we think we've actually figured out a way to prove the fact that there are almost double the people operating illegally than operating legally. And we figured out the way to prove that
I
to you guys.
I would guess it's significantly higher than that. But anyways, so I'm sorry to – I'm kind of curious in terms of Tyrone's question and specifically helping him, because – he's wondering if I'm just out. He didn't tell us if he's 107 or not, number one. I get the feeling he's not.
Well, step one, become 107.
Well, but he was talking about just flying for fun, not even recording anything or anybody. So I'm going under the presumption that he's not 107. He's not flying commercially. So if he's flying for hobby, the rules are different as it relates to flying over people, right? I mean, what I read is that it just says don't fly over groups of people.
The it depends on which CBO you follow for hobby rules. That's what people don't understand. There are different CBOs now. AMA says very strictly don't fly over people.
Well, I'm reading this here. It says never fly over groups of people, and this is from the FAA site. So it makes me think, because he was saying,
I'm glad you brought that up. Never fly over groups of people, because when that FAA Washington person spoke with us, they said, look, guys, 3 months ago, we were ready to release flying over people so that everyone could fly over people. But
right.
Secret Service said, no, 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 no. So,
which is so strange.
Yeah. I mean, let me finish, though. What they also said is, look, if you fly over someone getting to a shot If you fly over someone to the beach, getting out to the water so that you can mm-hmm. film the beach and everything, that's not a problem. The okay. problem is the fact that flying over groups of people, flying over parades, flying over concerts,
right.
a dude buys a drone from Best Buy and then goes down to the local Scottish Walk and decides to fly over the whole thing. That's not okay.
Right.
Absolutely not okay. If you're filming your kid's cross-country match and you're flying over them, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Period. So I think you bring up a good point on groups, because that FAA Washington person said, like, you know, as far as we're concerned, these are just like helicopters, and helicopters fly over people all the time.
That's true. Absolutely.
And that's the funny thing, is that like the perspective from FAA FISDO and the perspective from FAA Washington is just so different. But it also makes sense why the FAA FISDO's hands have been tied on airspace authorizations, and why FAA Washington is trying to do this portal, because it seems like they're actually more easygoing, which I know that's that's different from the tone I've had before, but this is what we're hearing.
Well,
from the source. So.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's sort of, it's just an enforcement issue, in the sense that, think of a teacher who goes into a new classroom, it's the beginning of the year. That teacher, if they're going to do a good job, is going to say to the students, I'm going to start out really, really tough, and then I'm going to ease off if you earn that over time. And I kind of wonder if that even subconsciously is how the local FISDOs are approaching something like this, because there's so many unknowns. They're approaching it like, we got to be tough in the beginning. And as we learn things, as we get comfortable with people understanding the rules, then we can start to sort of ease off a little bit, little by little.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if that's how they're approaching it, but maybe even subconsciously, that could be why the local guys are harsher, for lack of a better word, than the national guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a interesting perspective. I think that's actually very valid. Whatever the reason, things are getting better. We're still in this massive gray area. I was told, though, also that if anyone applies for a flying over people waiver, that they're all being tabled right now.
Clearly, since there's only been one that's...
Yeah, but I hate that. I'm sorry. Like, there's also this NPS thing that I'm dealing with right now. NPS has been allowing drones to fly in national parks from huge major motion pictures and whatnot, and they get a year-long permit. And so, like, I've been figuring out, unless I apply for a year-long permit, it's going to take 3-4 months to get a permit, because they won't even look at mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've also figured out that I actually have to go to the lake or place that I want to film and go grease the wheels and bring, you know, the big tubbies some donuts. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously?
Yes.
Because that local person makes the decision.
Yep.
Wow.
Isn't that sad? You know what's even more sad is that if you're in the movie industry, make sure you're always greasing the wheels at your movie office. Recently, someone changed all my information at the film office because, well, for long story short, I have been getting business from other people that have been getting it before me rampantly, because I've mm-hmm. got better quality and a better price point.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just go out, shoot it, give them the card, I'm done. So for me, it's the easiest job. And for these other guys, they're always trying to do the biggest, baddest thing, and they don't have the skill to move the camera around. So finally they figured out, let's change all his information. So I figured out that I haven't been getting calls for the last 3 months because someone changed my information at the film office on their online website.
Wow. Okay. So you got to do two things every month: check your credit card statement and check your database for the film office.
It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
And like,
wow.
That's why people ask me, like, what's your favorite thing to film? And my favorite thing to film is small commercial productions and boat commercials, because the movie industry, just like, full of egos, full of I know how to do it right, and what I've learned being on set and what I've heard on the internet are two very different things.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. All right, so for Tyrone, I guess what we're gonna say is the incidental flying over somebody while you're flying is probably not a big deal.
I think, okay, so our official advice at Drone U, should I start with that?
I think that sounds awesome.
Our official advice at Drone U is that you should never intentionally fly over people unless they are involved with your operation and they have been briefed. You did a safety briefing. You have an emergency place to dump the drone in case anything happens. You've got a call word so that if the drone has a problem and you yell, red, you know, like everyone knows, get undercover.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
cool.
Be smart about it. Never fly over groups of people, never fly over concerts, never fly in any way that can endanger a person. If you're flying along the beach and someone walks under the drone, they see the drone, but they still walk under it, you know, I don't think you're going to get in trouble for that. My advice is definitely never fly over people intentionally. But, you know, if you're 300 feet up and there's a person below you, it's not the end of the world.
And you're talking 107 and or hobby.
Yes.
Is that fair? I just want to clarify what we're talking about.
Yes.
With these,
I think that's
comments.
Fair. So, but guys, just
for
remember,
safety reasons,
if you're flying over someone and you're even 50 feet up, remember, you can still hurt that person, and you have to remember that you cannot fly in a careless or reckless manner. That is the vague thing that can get you in trouble. I mean, it's one of those things you got to be really cognizant of. I saw a guy, I was in Newport Beach 2 weeks ago, and I saw a guy flying some Autel drone, and he was like 30 feet over the boardwalk, right over people, and I yelled at him. And I was like, don't fly over people. I'm like, dude, you can fly here. Just don't fly over people. Don't ruin it for the rest of us. And he was like, okay. Like, and then like moved away. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. Mm. And, you know, so many people are getting so, I don't want to use that term, mad. They're getting so frustrated at illegal operators, at these people flying over people. Look, don't be afraid to say something, but you don't need to be mean either. And also, you know, like, this is why I want to create those cards for us,
right,
that we can give out to members, to give out to other people, to say, look, guys, like, we see that you love to fly. And in order to maintain the freedom to fly, there's some rules we all got to follow. And it's going to help us all in the end. So we invite you to check this out. And that's what I want to put out with Drone U.
Right.
So that anytime I see a person, boom, here's a card.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that guy probably didn't even know, or he just wasn't thinking about it. Clearly, when you told him, he was compliant.
Yeah. I need to spend some time on Vistaprint.
There's so many things that need to be done. Yeah. Anyways, hopefully.
Can we have a new assistant? Another one?
Another one. Assistant number three. Tyrone, thank you for your question. We really, really do appreciate it. And guys, if you have a question, again, go to astronew.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do that for us. That really helps us. Share the podcast. Let your friends know about it if you think it's helping you or the industry. Let's get the word out to more and more people.
Definitely. And if you're listening on iTunes, which I know about 90,000 of you are, check us out on YouTube too. And check out, the vlog is going to be coming out so soon. I'm hoping to actually release it this weekend. I know I've been saying that, but I finally have my intro. I finally have an idea. Casey Neistat kind of inspired me too. And, you know, I just see all the other vlogs out there and I see all the other stuff on YouTube, and there's just so much bad information about drones on YouTube, and I'm hoping to change that. And I'm hoping to give you guys a glimpse inside of my life, because I believe you should do what you want. And I'm going to show you how I did what I want, and it continues to evolve and change. So
anyway, awesome.
That'll be Living the Drone Life blog. So check it out. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, guys. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.